Amen. Just when you think you have everything together, thinking that something belonged to somebody else is really yours. This evening I want to talk to you a little while about covenants. Covenants. It's important that we realize what a covenant is and the covenant that we are under today, and that all covenants in the Bible were not written to us or to all mankind. There are different people that we're going to find as we go through this lesson on this evening that God made a covenant with. And as He made the covenant with them, there was something that they needed to do. And I believe that as people of God, we understand that we are under the new covenant. And we understand that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made these things possible. We find in the scriptures in Matthew chapter 1, the verses 21, that she shall give birth to a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. God sent his son in order to save his people. We also find, as we looked at this morning, Brother Theotis, I believe it was, mentioned, from Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was the children of Israel that were lost. None of us were not born. We were not even Israelites, or not even Israelites even today. But the covenant was made in the beginning, not even with the children of Israel. The first covenant that we see that was made was in the Garden of Eden. And as we go back and we look at that and we examine the things in which God have done, that we find that this covenant was because of sin. It was a sin that Adam and Eve committed, a sin that the serpent committed, things that God had told them that they should not do. The old serpent in the garden, he approached Eve, and he brought forth to her, or her to forth to the tree, and basically it's like this: look at it, doesn't it look good? If it looks good, don't you think it is good? Well, now that you mention it, but I know what God said. God said, do not even touch the tree. This is Eve now, not even touch the tree. Because when you touch it, you're going to want to eat it. And he said, when you eat of that tree, you shall die. The serpent said, you shall not surely die. Not surely die. Didn't tell her the whole truth, just held back part of it. She took up the tree and saw that it was good, and she also gave it unto her husband, and he ate as well. So we find in Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 14. Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 14. The covenant that was made in Eden with Satan. But it wasn't just with Satan that this covenant was made with. It was also with man and woman. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. All the days of thy life. Thorns and also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Look what he says. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. You see the promises of God here? The promise unto Satan, the promise unto the woman, the promise unto the man. Two of them we're still looking at as far as what we're going through today, and also the third in which Satan has already gone through. A promise, a covenant. And we find that we're not the ones that got kicked out of the garden, but it was Adam and Eve because of the sin they committed. We don't have to give an account for their sins. We have to give an account for our own sins. The Bible teaches us that we will give an account of every deed done in this body, whether good or whether bad. And when we find something that God has told us not to do, we need to make sure that we don't do it. And when He has told us something that we should do, we shouldn't hesitate. We should go ahead and do it. Then in the days of Noah, God made a covenant with Noah. In the book of Genesis chapter 9, verse 8 through 17. When the wickedness of mankind came up before God because all the sins that they were committed, they were having a good time. They were participating in sinful acts, and God was displeased with this. But as far as the house of Noah, the eight that was in his family, he said, Noah, you found favor in the eyes of God. He said, I want you to build an ark, and I want you to enter into that ark. You and your family are going to be saved. The covenant. As we read in Genesis chapter 9, it wasn't that Noah would enter into the ark, but it was that he would never, and who is the he? The he is God, that he would never flood the earth with water again. Different parts of the earth, oh yes, they get floods, but the whole earth at one time, it would not be flooded with water, never again. We find in Genesis chapter 9, starting with verse 8, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you. From all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off anymore by waters of flood. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. That's a wonderful covenant. How many times when you're riding down the road after a light rain or a heavy flood, and the sun began to shine, and you look up and you see that rainbow in the clouds, how often do you think of the covenant that God made with Noah on that day? And you know, it's not just to see one rainbow, but sometimes you look up and you see a double bow. He said, man, that is a great promise that God made with His people. That's a great promise that we can benefit from today. A covenant that He made with Noah for all generations. We don't have to worry about the great flood anymore. Only thing we have to worry about is the fire. So let's keep our lives in order. Let's do the things that God will have us to do. Then in Genesis chapter 15, verses 12 through 21, and also 17, verses 1 through 14, a covenant with Abraham's descendants. A covenant with Abraham's descendants. Say, Abraham, I'll make you a great nation. The father of many nations. And this covenant would be kept only by them obeying. By them obeying. God would be their God and they would be His people. And what did God do for them? He led them, you know, out of the wilderness. He led them to a place of safety because they were listening to His words and they were doing the things that He wanted them to do, being the people that He wanted them to be. But at one point, when we look at the covenant that God makes with His people, there's always somebody that want to turn back and go against God. And that is the reason why we see covenant after covenant after covenant that was made with people that said that they were following after God's will. The covenant changes. The covenant changes. As we make promises today to people, and because they do not keep their part, We go back and we have to make a new promise with them. And when the new promise is made, it's made because they want the people to understand, or we want the people to understand, that they need to do what is right. The things that has been promised unto them. A promise that was made to the children of Israel that many people today still say that they're following after was the covenant that God gave Moses up on Mount Sinai. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, if you will obey my voice. See, I like how he said, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. I never heard anybody say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it tonight. I don't know about anybody else, but I am so glad that the children of Israel did not keep the word that God gave them. And the reason I say that is because none of us would be here if they did. We, even if we were born an Israelite, because of sin, where would we have been? Where would we go? A lot of us would have been stoned. From the time we began to walk and get into trouble, we've been stoned because we like sin. Think about the sin that you committed since you got to the age of knowing what sin is all about. How many times you've gone out and did things that you were not supposed to do? God gave them a covenant. If you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenants, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Who was it for? It was for the children of Israel. Not for us, but for the children of Israel. He didn't say speak this to every nation, did he? He didn't say when the Gentiles, come about, speak this to them. He said unto the children of Israel. God's special people. The ones that rebelled against him. And yes, we still have that today. People rebelling against God. But God made a covenant with them. He gave it to Moses up on Mount Sinai. And it just was not the Ten Commandments. It was rules and regulations on how to govern their lives. How to conduct themselves in affairs. How to take care of those that needed restitution. All these other ordinances that were written, this was what the covenant was all about. It just wasn't 10. But they were to keep them. They were to keep them. And then we find in Numbers chapter 25, in Numbers chapter 25, verses 10 through 13, a covenant made to Aaron's descendants that they would be priests forever. Now, where does that put us? Now, we are a peculiar people. We are heirs to the throne. We wasn't, and still are not today, we're not Levites. But guess what? We are a member of a royal priesthood. And we are heirs to the throne. But here, these were the individuals that were supposed to make the sacrifices, offer up the incense unto God. It was a covenant, for the priesthood, a covenant with Aaron's descendants. We find in Numbers chapter 25, starting with verse 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, said, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, had turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel, Aaron's descendants. You see how the covenants are made in the Bible? And the people that they are made for, and the covenant, and the people that they are made with, a covenant is nothing but a promise. A promise. And we serve a God that keeps every promise that He makes. It's mankind that breaks the promise. You know, if there's a covenant made, an agreement, both parties have to be in agreement and both parties have to carry out their end. God has never went back on His word. It is always man that goes back. And when man goes back, we see from time after time after time that a covenant is made with another person or another group. The covenant was made with David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, the verses 13. 2 Samuel chapter 7, the verses 13. He said, "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish my throne," or the throne of His kingdom, "forever." Forever He shall build a house for my name. Chapter 23, verse 5. Chapter 23, verse 5. "Although my house be not so with God, yet He had made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. But this is my salvation and all my desire, although He make it not to grow." A covenant, a promise. You build it, I'll be there. You do what you're supposed to do, and I will be with you. How many times have we seen people break covenants? How many times have we ourselves broke a covenant that we are made with someone? But we can look forward and see God's word, how God has kept His end of the bargain. You do what you're supposed to do, and you rest assured God will do what He said He would do. Because He is our God. He is our Creator. He is the one that has set forth the rules. He's the one that made the covenant with His people. How do you become one of God's people? You become one of God's people by being obedient to the things in which He wants you to do. The Bible tells us in the book of Mark chapter 16, verse 16, that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus." You know, as we look at statements like that, commands like that, it's important that we realize that we need to teach them. It's important that we realize that we need to hear them and be obedient to them. Why? It's not because of the covenant He made in the Garden of Eden. It's not because of the covenant that He made with Noah. It's not because of the covenant that He made with Abraham's descendants. It's not with the covenant that He gave Moses up on Mount Sinai. It's not because of the covenant that He said about Aaron's line, that they would be the Levites and they would be the priests. It's not with the covenant that He made with David. It's the covenant that He has made with His people today through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why we teach the things that we teach. That's why we do the things that we do. That's why we try to encourage people to turn their lives over to God. Because of the covenant for the people of God. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. A new covenant. Now, if we even tried to go back and live upon the old covenant, those of you that say that you want to live upon the old covenant, this is what I encourage you to do. I encourage you to walk out the door, and I encourage you to go and find the I don't care how big the stone is. I want you to go and find it and pick it up. Put it in your pocket. Some of you want to be Hercules. You want to get big stones. You can't put them in your pocket. So I want you to get one that you can throw. Okay? And when you throw it, I want you to say before you throw it, "Lord, allow this stone to be used as a boomerang. So when I throw it, I want it to come back and I want it to hit me in the head," because the Bible teaches us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if we want to be pleasing to God, we need to stone ourselves, don't we? We need to do this if we want to live up under the covenant. The Bible tells us the covenant that we're under is a new covenant. In Hebrews chapter 8, the verse 6, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also it is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." We don't have to worry about our sins rolling over from year to year. When we ask God to forgive us for our sin, when we go to somebody and ask them to forgive us for sinning against them, we don't have to worry about these things being brought up anymore, or shall I say, at least not by God. He remembers our sins no more once we ask for forgiveness to Him. We don't have to go to a priest and ask him to pray for us or go to God on our behalf, because we can do it ourselves through His Son, Jesus Christ. "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, 'Behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt.'" Not according to that. He says, "Because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said the Lord." They did not continue. How many of us today, knowing the law that we're living under, knowing the commands that God has given, knowing the things that Jesus has said, how many of us fail to do those things and are not thinking about that we're going to die? And we're going to give an account of them. How many of us? He said in verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." We don't have to worry about anybody sitting back and saying, "Let me read unto you the ordinances that God gave Moses up on Mount Sinai." We can read it for ourselves today as we open up this book that is called the Bible. It's complete. He leaves nothing undone, no stone unturned. We need to accept the covenant that He has given unto His people. Verse 12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." God said it. You know what? I believe it. How many of us, you know, are beating ourselves up because we have committed some sin that we have gotten right with God? If you are, I encourage you on this evening to quit. Because the Bible says He will remember your iniquities no more. In that He said a new covenant. He had made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. A new covenant. Keep reading through the book of Hebrews about the old and the new covenant contrasting. Look at what God says about one and look what He says about the other. And understand that if we are under a new covenant, if God has established a new covenant, that's what we fall under. But you have to be His people. His people. Those that are not His people, they're not going to look at the covenant. They're not going to obey the covenant. The Orthodox Jew is still waiting on Jesus Christ to come. They're not going to make it in. They're saying that they're living up on the old law, but yet they're not keeping all the things of the law. We have other individuals that say, "You know, I'm up under the old law. No way God has done away with it." Well, their argument is not with us. Their argument is with God. If He said something was wrong with the old, therefore He established a new, I believe it. This word teaches us that. And if the word teaches it to us, we need to believe it. The sign of the new covenant is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I already told you, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, why He came to save His people from their sins. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, He came to seek and to save those that are lost. He came to give His life, shed His blood in order to establish this new covenant, to put it into effect. He came, He died, He was buried, and He rose to ascend into heaven. to make sure that you and I had a place to go. We read that in John chapter 14. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You believe that God gave unto the children of Israel a covenant to keep. Believe this, that he gave us a covenant that we need to keep. He said, in my house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." Oh, what a great promise. Looking at what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done. Looking at the promise, looking at the covenant that he has made with his people. Are you ready to accept it? Are you living the way you're supposed to live? Are you doing the things that you're supposed to do? Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian and you're ready to become one, understanding that the covenant that God has made with his people today is a better covenant. We don't have to worry about our sins being rolled over from year to year. We don't have to worry about laying down at night and saying, "Ed, did I get that right? Did I do it the right way? Did I understand what God wanted me to do?" Without a shadow of a doubt, you can know and you can understand. You just have to study His Word to know these things. Paul tells us that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. "Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We are under a better covenant today, a better promise that God has made with His people. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, you're ready to turn your life over to God, come forth, make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son. Have your sins washed away in the watery grave, added to the body by the Lord Himself. Maybe you're here and you're strayed away and you're ready to come back. Don't wait any longer. Now is the time. For tomorrow is not ours. If you're here and you're subject to an invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.